in Exodus. Actually, we're leading into, there we go. We're going into the Ten Commandments. And I wanted to do an introduction. We're going to break this down for a few weeks. And talk about sort of the Big Ten. And a lot of people have a lot of different ideas on this. And so we're heading into a part of Exodus. You know, they've traveled, they've come down, they met God. God has come down in the mountain. And over the next few chapters of Exodus, God gives a lot of rules and regulations. Right? Anyone like rules? Not a single hand went up. Oh, come on. There's some people I like. Okay, Cheryl likes rule. All right. I see Chris. So you guys are good for each other. But depends on whose rules it is. But anyway, you know, talk about rules and regulations. It's funny because God has come down and He said He wants to make a covenant with them. He wants to make a promise. He goes, look, if you will obey Me, you'll be My people. Right? And Israel's like, okay, God, we'll do whatever You tell us to do. So we have this dynamic set up for this relationship between them. And as this relationship starts panning out, over the next couple of chapters, it can get sort of bogged down. And so over the next couple of weeks, I want to go, we'll go through the Ten Commandments, and then we're going to get into whole kinds of some kind of regulations. And I want to give those things kind of context this morning. Because it starts talking about, you know, your servant does something, and what do you do when your ox gores your manservant, and some of these things are like, okay, what does this really have to do to us? And so I want to draw some principles out of these things, but I think it's really important for us to take just a sort of a Sunday to step back and look at sort of an introduction into the Ten Commandments, and then into the greater part of the law that God gives Israel. But you guys know the Ten Commandments. Many of you can probably rattle them all off. Right? And in here, it's laid out this idea of, you know what, these are rules to follow. And over the years, I've met many people who aren't necessarily religious, who don't go to church, and they believe in the Ten Commandments. Actually, up until recently, you could find the Ten Commandments in your school. I'm just curious, how many of you guys learned the Ten Commandments in school, public school? All right, we got a few hands, right? It wasn't, you'd go to the courthouse, and they were, actually, a lot of our rules and regulations are based off of the Ten Commandments. America being a Judeo-Christian country, this is really sort of the foundation of a lot of our laws, and all that God does kind of brings up in these things. Number one, you should have no other gods before Me. You should make no graven image. You should not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You should not murder. Thou should not commit adultery. Thou should not steal. You should not bear witness. And you shall not covet. Actually, Jesus brings this down because the disciples come to Him with these 10 rules, these 10 commandments. And says, look, which is the greatest? Right? Because we tend to... Which one's more important? And Jesus really summarizes it this way in Matthew 22, 36. Says, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Nancy's been teaching this to the kids in Good News Club. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. The commandments are divided into two sections. First, our relationship to God. Right? You say, God, because I love You, how's that going to reflect in my life? You know? And love has an impact. Right? Think of those people in your life that you love. You know? Be your spouse. You act a certain way. Because of your children, you behave a certain way. Now in here, as we love somebody, how does that play out? And the commandments here, as we talk about God, we worship Him and we serve Him. That in here, there are some natural things that we would want to reach out to. God says, if you love Me, this is what I need you to do. The second half is love our neighbor as ourselves. That in here, how we behave and treat other people. And God cares of how we serve Him and how we treat other people. That really comes down to the base of all these things. We talk about this idea of the Ten Commandments. It's interesting because not only in Scripture, but these things are naturally written upon our hearts. Right? You can talk to someone who has never been to church, who's never had any training, and you know what? They know that stealing is wrong. Right? I mean, you take a kid, and you take their candy. Do they say, oh, that's okay? No, right? Give me, that's mine. Give it back to me. You just know instinctively not to steal. You know, even in a society in which, you know, a lot goes as far as our relationship goes, but there's a gut reaction if someone commits adultery, if someone cheats on their spouse. I don't care really how anti-God you are, there's an instinct, a gut reaction that says this is wrong. Right? We talk about lying and all these things. All these things, it's interesting. We get all these commands of God are a natural sin. I think God has written these things upon our hearts. And actually, Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 2. It says, for then, when the Gentiles who do not have the law, right? The Gentiles didn't receive the Ten Commandments, but by nature do the things that are in the law, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, their thoughts, and accusing or else accusing them. Right? That we can point to, and even the ungodly will look at each other and say, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't murder. These are things that are just written upon our hearts, upon our nature. I always kind of talk about this sort of the marks of the Creator. Because we are all created in the image of God, and God has left this mark upon us, our conscience. And even today, you look at our court systems. You know, the big thing was just this past spring, Marissa Kennedy's parents were sentenced. And how tragic that was, and yet everyone knew it was wrong. Right? Where does that come from? The law of God, as God created us, but even before it was given in the Ten Commandments, there is a basic understanding of right and wrong. And I think where our society has really gotten itself in trouble is that now they're trying to rework, rewrite some of these core things of what's right and wrong. Right? That's where our society's going. And in here, I think we were talking about in Sunday school a little bit about that sort of the strife that's kind of going on. And I think some of that is fundamentally is there's a moral fiber, a moral truth that we're trying to rewrite because we want to take the place of God in our lives. And so we talk about the law. I mean, I say, how many of you guys like the law? I like the law if it works in my favor. I don't like it when it's used on me. Right? But in here, we talk about the idea of the law, and a lot of people will turn around and say, okay, you know what, I have this basic understanding of right and wrong, and I look at my deeds, and I look at these things, and as long as I do more good things in my life than bad, I'm okay. You know, I work with a guy, and I was in Bible school at the time, and he was my boss, so I always kind of tried lightly with the guy who could fire you. And so I asked him, I said, you know, oh, yeah, I'll come to church. He goes, no. He goes, I grew up Catholic. I've moved away from that. He goes, I have my own religion worked out with God. And I always kind of pricked my interest. I said, oh, okay. So you and God have your own personal thing worked out. He goes, yeah. I said, oh, okay. I'm just curious. What is this? He goes, as long as I keep the Ten Commandments, I'm okay. Right? As long as I have more good stuff, God's going to let me into heaven. And there's a lot of people that believe that. They put it a lot of different ways. You talk about people who have, you know, red in their columns, right, in their life. I've done these bad things, and now I'm trying to do good things to overcome all those bad things. There's a lot of people that say, you know, I don't need God. One of the hard things is, as a pastor, I've talked with people and said, you know what? I'm a good person. I'm better than some of the Christians I know. And you know what's sad? Sometimes they are. Right? Just because someone goes to church doesn't mean that they're always a wonderful person. And the inverse of that as well, right? Just because someone doesn't go to church doesn't make them a bad person. There's a lot of good people who do a lot of good things who never come to church. who never accept Christ. So those are the ones that are like, well, look, why do I need this? Look how good I am, right? We kind of look at this whole balance beam, and what they want to do is stack it up. Or what's really bad is they want to stack it up against you or against me, right? Well, Pastor, I'm a better person than you are. So God's going to accept me at the end of the day. I'm going to go to heaven because I'm better than you. You probably are better than me. But guess what? I'm not the standard. The goal isn't to be better than me. The standard comes down is against the law of God. James tells us, says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all of it. See, we got to understand, with the law of God, we talk about these sort of Ten Commandments, if you will, that in here, the standard is you got to keep all of it. Perfectly, all the time. Oh. Oh, Pastor, you've gone from preaching to meddling now. Right? Because I don't care how good you are, you can't keep it all. You know, you can go down the list, it's all, you know, I love God. You know, the first one with God is kind of hard to prove, right? You know, I don't have any images, I don't have any, you know, I don't have any little statues in my house that I worship. You know, God, I love God, I go to church. Okay, those God things, I can kind of sort out, because you can't judge me on that, because you don't know. But you look around and say, you know, I've never cheated on my wife. Oh, look how good I am. Right? I've never killed anyone. Right? That's all right. I'm doing really good so far. Woohoo! You know what? Have I ever bear false witness? Have I ever lied? I'm going to say no. Which, guess what? I haven't told a big one. You know, just a little one. You know, because what are you supposed to do when, you know... My wife doesn't like to take me shopping. She'll say, hey, which outfits do you like? And my answer is always the same. Which one's cheaper? Right? I tell my wife, I'm a horrible girlfriend. If someone comes up with a really ugly baby, right? And you can't say that. So you're like, Gucci, Gucci, goo. Oh, look. You know, you're like, oh, wow. Look at all the hair they have, right? You know, it's like, yeah, right? You know, you're trying to say, no, oh, they're gorgeous, right? I can just say that because I was an ugly baby. It explains this, but it's a whole different ball of wax. But right in here, you know, I've told only good lies. Well, no, that's still a lie. I've told little white lies. Well, guess what? A white lie is still a lie. Or lies of omission. Right? Cop pulls you over. Do you know why I pulled you over? No! Right? And I did that because one time a cop pulled me over for something, and I said, yeah, because I didn't stop at the stop sign. He goes, oh, no, I pulled you over because you had a light out. But while I have you here, you know, so I was like, you know, I don't know why you pulled, why you pull me over? You go first. Don't make me tell on myself. Have I ever covered it? Do you ever have that desire to have something you didn't have? Envious of the guy who has a new truck or the better house? Well, those ones are a little tougher, right? And so actually, even then, I talked to the guy I worked with, and he was like, oh, I just followed the Ten Commandments. I said, well, how are you doing with that? And he did the same thing. He said, you know, I haven't killed anyone. You know, I haven't cheated on my wife. He goes, I'm doing all right. Well, have you ever lied? I don't want to talk about that one. So I went down through it. I had a good rapport with the guy. So he started going through. I said, well, okay, you coveted. All right. Have you ever lied? And we started going down the list. I said, oh, so really you're down to like 6.5 commandments. Right? And he goes, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I said, it's interesting, even by your own standards, even by his own standards, he wasn't able to keep what he thought he should be able to do to be a good person, to be good enough. Matthew tells us, says, you have heard it said to those of old, you should not murder. Talk about the Ten Commandments. Yeah, okay, I haven't killed anyone. And whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, fool, will be in danger of hellfire. Reka just kind of means empty-headed. Kind of an airhead. We kind of a loose translation. Right? Have you ever called anyone an idiot? A moron? Right? Now, if you say no, then you're not driving. Alright? I used to say, you know, because the Lord really convicted me, because I used to have to say, well, we used to live by Waterville. And I don't know, has anyone been to Waterville? Drive through there. And I used to come home just so exasperated because of driving through Waterville. And I get home and my wife's like, so how you doing? You know, I'm like, someone left the fence open on the idiot farm. You know, because it's like, I almost got hit four times. People walk, it was just like one of these things. And I'd come home and I'd be like, these idiots. Oh, wait. I'm not supposed to hit that. Yeah. Right? It's interesting. What Jesus does is takes the commandments of our actions. Because a lot of people will turn around and say, you know what? It's what I do and not what I think that matters. Right? As long as I don't kill somebody, and Jesus actually takes this. Because it's funny because people will say, well, the Old Testament law is so tough. We turn to the New Testament and it's not more gracious. And I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus goes even harder than the law. Right? Because I've never killed anyone, as far as I know. My cooking, I don't know what happened to the long term, but you know, potluck, bring something. I don't know what happened years down the line. But as far as I know, I haven't killed anybody. But I've been angry in my heart at people. I've had some really not nice names for people. And Jesus says, you know what? Because that's the core. That's where murder starts. It's in the heart. And Jesus says, look, if you've done that in your heart, you've broken the law just as much as if I killed somebody. Ooh. Well, all of a sudden, this commandment I thought was, oh, well, here's one I'm keeping. Jesus says, no. Actually, he goes even further. He says, you have heard it said to those of old, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Right? That's another one of those big ones. It's, oh, I've never cheated on my wife. But I ever looked at a woman and said, wow, my wife's in the room. I'm not going to answer that. Right? Have I ever done that? Have I ever had a desire? You be the judge. And so it's interesting that Jesus talks about the heart again. Not my actions. It isn't what I've actually done. It's what I've thought about in my heart. Man, all of a sudden you got quiet and things, tension got built up. Because all of a sudden these ones that we say, I haven't done, guess what? We've done them in our hearts. And Jesus says we're just as guilty as if we'd done it. So the question comes in and says, look, if that's the case, can I ever be good enough? Right? That comes down. If you say, wait a minute, you're getting too hard. The rules are too difficult. And so the law is bad. Right? We turn around today, and I find it interesting, because so the argument is, if anyone say, you know, we have too many people in prison. So let's lower the standard on the laws. Right? Things that were illegal, we're not going to make them illegal anymore so that we don't have more people arrested. Is it just me, or is that kind of backwards thinking? Right? I had a teacher in school that gave a test, and everyone in the class failed the test. And so the teacher says, you know what we're going to do? I'll take the best grade of all of you people who failed, and I'll make that the A, and we'll just raise the whole standard out. He goes, so the whole class passed. You know what? That didn't help me in that subject at all. So the question is, you know, is the law a bad thing? We start talking about things, and Because I can't keep it, does that mean it's bad? Paul had a lot to say about the law. He says, therefore, the law is what? Holy. And the commandment, holy and just and what? And good. The issue that I can't keep the law does not mean the law is bad. That just means I'm the problem. Or you're the problem. So that puts us really in a tight spot. Right? Because we have these rules and regulations that's going to be going on. We're going to look at all these things, and yet none of us can keep it. That's a big problem, isn't it? The Bible says here, Jesus' own words, says, do not think I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot and one tittle will by no means pass. For the law, till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Today in the sort of the modern church, what we've wanted to do is just toss out all these things. You know, I shared with you, before I came here, I was looking at churches that were looking for pastors. And one that really struck me was in there. It says that we're looking for pastors who will only preach affirming and uplifting sermons. We just want feel-good sermons. And I'm all for feel-good sermons. But if you're going to go through the whole counsel of God, there are some things that God says I don't want you to do. As I look at the Word of God, it steps on my toes sometimes. And I don't like that particularly much. So I have a standard, right? And here's a church that says, look, here's some parts that people complain about. There's some parts that make people kind of squirm. There's some people that have some difficulties in these areas. And because of that, we just won't preach them. There's a real big problem with that. Because the law reflects God. And as I love Him, remember, I should love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my mind and strength, right? I should love the Lord with all that I have. Because I love Him, I want to know about Him. Right? I married my wife. We said for better or for worse. And by the way, she says I owe her more good. Because the balance has been off a little bit. But we look around, we see this, that in here, because I love the Lord, I want to know all of Him. Not just part of Him. And for true Christians, true believers in Him, it draws us in to serve Him. And as a pastor, he says, look, blessed is the person who tells you the whole law, who tells you the whole thing. Because the whole thing is good, even the parts that are hard for us. So we look at this dynamic of good and bad and the struggle that we have. And so the question is, why have this? Why have a law that we can't even keep? If I can't be good enough for heaven, if I can't be good enough for God, why have all these things? Because all it does is condemn me. Has God set us up for failure? Paul tells us, but we know the law is good if one uses it lawfully. God gave these rules and regulations for a reason. Not to be ignored, not to be flipped over, not to be applied. Because we've already said that the law is what? Good. It's holy. The problem in my relationship with the law isn't the law. The problem is us. And so if we're just left with that fact of God, here's the laws and I can't keep them, and because I've done one, I'm guilty of them all, so therefore I'm condemned before God. So why did God even put this all in here? Paul tells the Galatians this, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by what? Faith. Justified means declared right. Right? In here, as I say before God, am I guilty or am I innocent? Well, we've already looked at, I'm guilty. Not just by a little bit, I'm guilty by a lot. And so as God brings this law down, He shows me in it, and I look at it and I see my shortcomings. I see I fall short. As He does this, it draws me into something else. Because there's got to be a way. God said He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. God wants to have a relationship with us. No matter how frail we are, how fallen we are, how broken. And so the gap is between me and God. And yet God wants us to be justified. But it's by our faith. It's by what we believe about Him. And not that we're good enough. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For the law is the knowledge of sin. So it's interesting. You're sort of set up in sort of a dynamic. The more we know about God, the more short I know I am. The more holy I know He is, the more I know I fall short of it. So it sets up this really interesting dynamic. God draws us closer. He wants us to come to Him. And yet as I come closer to Him, I know the more imperfect I am. But now the good news. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. To all and on all who believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, here's the good news. That God doesn't have to rewrite the law. He doesn't have to lower the standards of the law to accept me. But what God does now is now change me. And in here, now as I believe on Christ, His righteousness is imputed on me. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. Christ fulfilled the law. All these commandments, Jesus passed with flying colors. And He's the only one that was sinless. And so what He has done is I accept Him, ask Him to forgive me, come into my heart, come into my life. As I do that, now His righteousness is imputed on me. It's kind of like if you're in school. You all of a sudden drop yourself down in like calculus. Anyone do really well in calculus? I took pre-calc, didn't do that well, and we're signing up for the next year. The teacher pulled me inside and said, John, you shouldn't go any higher. It won't end well. Like, okay. He goes, don't feel bad. He goes, I'm having this conversation with a lot of our students here. He goes, because I barely squeaked by and I don't understand adding with letters and imaginary numbers. And you know, I have fingers and toes, I'm pretty good. But God doesn't change the standard that I could be accepted in Him. What He does is accept me. And so in that class, imagine if you will, the smartest kid in the class, the kid who always gets the A, comes up to me and says, John, how about we switch papers? And the teacher's okay with it, so I'm not cheating. But the teacher says, you know, he says, look, take my paper that is perfect, scratch out the name and write your name on here. And the worst part is that he takes your paper, which you know you bombed, and he crosses out his name and puts his name on that paper. That's sort of what Christ has done for him. When I come before God, He says, why should I let you in? It's not because I've been good enough. It's not because of my deeds I was able to obey these things. I know I look at the law. I know I've fallen short. Yet as I look at that, I can know, I see before Him, that Lord Jesus Jesus was good enough. And I'm accepted in Him. And so many people struggle with that, I'm not good enough. And I hate to tell you, you're not, but He is. That it's His righteousness that's used on my behalf. It's His perfection that makes me accepted. And what that does is free me from the law. Our righteousness isn't in the law. Our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be good enough because He is. That's good news. Isn't it? No matter how much you failed, because Jesus never failed, you're accepted in Him. And because of that, I'm not held to the standard anymore. So it's interesting, as we go to the law, as we look through these commandments, it's not a matter of, am I good enough? Now, remember, the law is good. Right? It's good that I don't cheat on my wife. Right? It's really good for my health. Among other things, right? It's good that I'm not lying. It's good that I love God. I serve Him. I put Him first. These are all things that are good for me. The law is good. So as we go through these things, we're going to examine it. And okay, how can I apply these things to my life? But we're going to stumble along the way. And God doesn't condemn us and throw us out because of that. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? We've all fallen short. But we're still accepted. Because Jesus has paid that price. Years ago, I heard an illustration. And I don't know if it was a true story or not, but one of our professors would say this. He goes, there's a lady who married real young to this guy. And she thought he was going to take care of him. And soon into their marriage, they found out he was a very abusive husband. He was very demanding. And in here, he had a list of things. He says, you are my wife. These are things you need to do. You have to have supper for me on time. Then he goes, in here, you got to have the house cleaned up to a certain standard. And this is how I want you to be dressed. And she went down this long list of things. And he would come home. And she said, I cleaned the house. And we'd find some dust. And he would beat her. He turned around and said, supper's supposed to be on time. You're 5 minutes late. And no matter how hard she tried to do the list, she fell short of it time and time and time again. What a horrible way to live, isn't it? Where her husband passed away. And the Lord brought another gentleman into her life. And he was just wonderful. And here he just loved her. He'd bring her flowers and candy and... Several years went by and she just couldn't believe how good life has been with this new husband. But one day she was going through an old trunk and she opened it up and she happened to find the list of all the things, all the obligations and all the burdens. And as she started to go through that list, she realizes, you know what, so many of them she was doing now. In here she gladly made supper for her husband. That in here she kept the house clean and all the list. She went down through and she found that now she was actually doing all these things, but it was no burden now. There were a few things on there she'd gone by the wayside, that she didn't feel the pressures anymore. She wasn't afraid anymore. But she found that natural law of extension, some of the things that she was doing, she was now still doing. And I think the law of God works that way in our lives. Because if we look at the law as something that I have to keep, it's something that is a burden and I struggle because I'm going to fall short. And if I fail, the whole weight of it falls on me. That's a miserable way to live the Christian life. But because I love Him, because He's got His perfect work in my life and He's creating in me a new life, what happens is we look at these laws and we look at these Ten Commandments, we find ourselves drawn to them. Not out of fear, but now out of love. Because I love Him, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so as we look at these laws, we look at these things, not from authoritarian, as the hammer comes down, and you're guilty, guilty, guilty. I don't have to do that. Because you know what the Bible says? We're guilty already. Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn the world because the world's already condemned, right? We're already guilty under the law. You don't need me to run you down. You don't need me to make you feel guilty. But what a privilege we have to preach the liberty we have in Christ Jesus. That now, the burden is lifted. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What a way to look at this. So we're going to start picking things up next week. We're going to look at the Ten Commandments, and we're going to shift gears and turn our hearts towards Easter and prepare our hearts for that. But what a wonderful blessing it is if we look at the law of God. And prepare your hearts as we look at it and say, okay, God, help me see you. Lord, help me to change through Christ and let the Holy Spirit bring me to understanding as we look at these things. Not as a judgment, but as a duty of love towards Him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You. Lord, what a privilege we have to serve You, to worship You. Lord, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be called Your child. I don't deserve to be brought into Your presence. But we thank You and praise You through Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. And Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe. Lord, we thank You and praise You to worship You, Lord, because what else can we do? We ask these things in Your name. Amen.